I like that song a lot.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think it's...
That's killer.
It's kind of... It's so 80s, though.
Yeah.
It's very 80s.
Who's that? Duran Duran?
That was A-ha.
Ah.
Duran Duran did A View to a Kill, which is probably a better song.
Yeah.
But I really like the Living Daylights song.
That's a good one.
They killed it in the 80s, kind of.
They, you know, they were doing it big.
Except for License to Kill. That's the only movie... song that if you say the movie and say like what's the song to that movie, I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
I don't remember it at all.
Don't it beats me. Don't ask me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But the Bomb Boys are back.
A long hiatus.
Yeah, we had a little bit of time off.
Not my fault.
No, not at all.
Your fault.
It's all my fault. Yep. I was gone in Ohio.
Far away.
Yeah, but now I'm back and we can get back to it. We watched The Living Daylights about a month ago.
Yep.
So we're going to try to remember what we thought of it back then, because I saw it a long time ago and then didn't remember anything about it.
It kind of came back to me when we watched it, though.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of things that I was like, oh, that's something that I've watched before.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the opening sequence of that movie a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's some cool action.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool, like, twist scene.
Yeah.
Very cool. I don't know.
Playing paintball.
Yeah. Well,
those paintballs are weird. They were like powder balls.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah. It was a cool concept.
Yeah. And I like the reveal of Timothy Dalton's face as James Bond. They kind of hide it.
Yeah.
And then he just turns.
And you're like, oh.
That's him.
That's him, James Bond.
That's the dude.
That's the dude. We're going to see the movie. It's going to be about him.
And then it kicks into that opening title sequence, which...
I mean,
with that dope
song.
You heard the song. Yeah.
So you know it gets you pumped.
It's kicking.
Kicking song.
I like it a lot. And then the movie gets into what Ian Fleming's original short story, The Living Daylights, was about with that whole sniper scene.
Yeah.
That scene in the book, it's just a short story about him trying to stop this sniper from killing this guy who they're trying to save outside of the opera.
Before we get into that.
Yeah.
There's been some big Spectre news during our
80s. Yeah, there was.
So Sam Smith.
Yes.
Writing's on the Wall.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
September 25th, I think, is when it comes out?
Yep.
I think it's going to be good. I was still kind of pulling for Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, I was too.
And I think Sia would be really good too.
That'd be cool.
That song I sent you, Kill and Run.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to it, listen. It sounds like it already is a Bond song.
Yeah, I know.
Which makes me feel like she would do an awesome official Bond song.
Yeah. When I heard Sam Smith, I was kind of like, Then I listened to some Sam Smith music, like his album, that songs that were not Stay With Me. And dude can sing.
He's got a really good voice. I think if there was some, if he got a good arrangement and some good lyrics, something other than his boyfriend leaving him. I think.
Is he gay?
Yeah. That whole album's about his boyfriend.
Like, Sam Smith's gay?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You did? You actually? Are you kidding? Or you did?
No, I'm serious. I didn't know he's gay.
Oh, he's really gay.
Oh, I didn't know.
That's what the whole album's about. Every single song.
Hmm.
Stay With Me. It's about his
boyfriend. Well, yeah, that could be about his girlfriend too.
That's true. I guess he doesn't really specify.
I had no idea he was gay.
Yeah.
But it's not a surprising thing. But no, he's good, and I'm excited to hear that song.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's gonna sound like.
I have no idea.
Because...
Probably good.
Yeah, I can't think of anything I could compare it to. Although it said he wrote it in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's scary. Maybe. It's either genius or scary.
It's like he's either a musical genius or he just is fucking this whole thing up.
Yeah. That's...
kind of hard to follow up with Skyfall. Skyfall, yeah. And
I mean, he's got to win the Oscar.
He's got to win the Oscar. What's he doing? Yeah. Waste of his 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That it took to write it.
But He recorded that in January.
He did?
And he's been sitting on it since then.
He's just been hiding it.
I don't know how he did it so well.
Watching everyone bet their money away
and
argue over it, and he's known the whole time.
I bet you had somebody put money on him.
Yeah. He's like, hey.
That'd be the smart move.
Hey, here's a good idea. Put money on me. They're like, are you recording? And he's like, I'm not going to say that. Just put some money on me.
It probably would have got out that way.
Yeah.
But I want one of those Spectre rings that he got.
Yeah. Why don't I get one? Probably because I didn't work on the movie.
No.
Yeah,
I wonder if they gave those away as like
that would be
gifts.
Cool. Yeah,
I'd take one. Yeah,
I'd wear it around.
Nalette, get us some rings from Barbara.
Yeah, from Barb Broccoli.
Yeah, you got the connection.
Yep.
Yeah, so that movie's gonna be, and it's also Spectre going to be the supposed longest
running Bond movie.
Yeah,
160 minutes rumored.
And Craig's got the two longest, right? Casino Royale and Skyfall are both the longest.
Yeah.
He also has the shortest.
Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Which is, we're all glad it's short.
Yeah. It's a good thing that's short. Watch it. I you know what? I rewatched it. And
it's got like three cool parts.
I enjoy it.
And then the rest of it is like, all right.
It's got the opening sequence, which is a cool chase scene.
It's got the part where he slaps the dude off the bike.
That's the best part of that movie.
Yeah. And then it's got the ending.
Yeah. The that's ending's all. Good with Vesper's boyfriend.
Everything brings between it all back. Is just poop. Just poop, poop, poop.
Yeah.
Poop, poop.
How useless was Strawberry Fields?
It's the most useless character.
She's
yeah, I don't. Okay, so Severine.
Yeah.
In Skyfall was probably more useless.
She, well, but she actually, like.
I guess she did contribute.
She
a little
contributed
bit.
A little bit she to moving him. The story along.
Yeah, Strawberry Fields didn't do
it. She didn't do it. She was like, "I'm going to take you in." He's yeah. like, "All right, well, when's the next plane leave? Tomorrow? Okay, well, we'll go then." And then he's just like, "No, nah, I'm not going to go."
Yeah.
And that's it.
She's like, "Ah, darn it."
Yeah. The only thing she did was trip some guy down the stairs.
Yeah.
And just for like a joke.
Yeah.
And that's all you get.
Haha, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then gone.
Yeah.
No service to the plot.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm still excited.
Yeah.
There's only like, what, 2 months left?
Yeah, just less than 2 months now.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale. Did you see the also the news that Regal is doing a Spectre pass?
What?
$100 pass. You get this dope card with mm-hmm. the Spectre logo on it. It's $100 though, but you can go unlimited amount of times to see the movie.
For $100?
Yeah. Which I don't know if I'll see it that many times to make
yeah,
it worth that.
Lot, yeah.
I'll see it at least 2 times.
Yeah, I saw Skyfall 3 times.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think I saw it twice.
I saw it 3 days in a row actually.
Really?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, opening weekend.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah.
It was definitely worth it. But yeah, it's $100. I just want to. I want the card yeah. more than anything because it's really cool looking.
You can just ask him to buy the card and
just yeah,
not just be make worth
it,
anything.
Not activate yeah. it. Just give me the card.
I could pay $20 for the card.
Yeah. Like, but they're only selling 1,000 of them.
Oh, so like limited.
So yeah, limited. I wonder.
I guess
if
you could
like
give it out to your friends or something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's all put in $100 for the Spectre card and go see the movie a bunch.
But then you could only go like one at a time.
That's true. I guess you just have to, you know, is it worth it? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
Is it worth it to you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to see it. I mean, we got the movie pass, though, so.
Yeah, we got the movie pass. We don't have to pay.
Yeah. Get that movie pass if you don't have one.
Movie pass.
Movie pass should sponsor the show.
Yeah, we should get sponsored by movie pass. We talk about it enough.
Yeah, I know.
Sponsored by movie pass.
But anyway.
So the Living Daylights.
Yeah, the Living Daylights. That's cool. That cool opening sequence.
Yeah.
And then dope song.
Dope song.
Yeah, pretty dope song. And then the whole sniper sequence that is all about from the book.
Yeah. And it's pretty faithful to the book.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty
it's very
spot on.
Yeah. The whole short story goes up until the point when he shoots at her mm-hmm. and realizes that it's a woman sniper.
Yeah.
And then it kind of ends there. So it kind of, they use the short story to set up the whole movie.
So I guess you could say, in a way, that this is one of the most faithful adaptations
yeah.
of a Bond book.
I think so.
Because they adapted the whole thing
yeah.
pretty faithfully.
And
pretty
more.
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just added stuff on the end.
Yeah.
But the part with the book they adapted was pretty
yeah,
pretty
similar. Pretty close. That's very true. But, okay, so the fun, I want to talk about some things that made me laugh in this movie. Well, first of all, actually, this was the, if you don't know, it's the 15th movie in the Eon series.
First with Timothy Dalton.
First, Timothy Dalton's first, 1987, the 25th anniversary of
yeah.
Bond.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's
pretty big to have your debut
yeah.
be the 25th anniversary.
I know. And I like this one more than, I rewatched License to Kill also recently, because
mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about it.
I don't either.
And I like this one better, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty underrated Bond movie. Mm-hmm. I think
mm-hmm.
he does a pretty good job. The only thing is, and I know a lot of people complain about this, but I kind of agree with it, is it's just so humorless.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, it's good. There's
yeah.
nothing, like the action's awesome.
Yeah.
The acting's great.
Right.
But it's just like so drab, I
yeah.
guess.
Even Daniel yeah. Craig gets a couple little jokes in
yeah.
every now and then.
But Timothy Dalton has none.
Not really.
No. Just all drama, all sadness.
Yeah. Which I guess is, you could put it to the script, but
yeah,
he's also speaking of Timothy Dalton, did you know that he was originally considered for Honor Majesty's Secret Service?
I did know that.
When he was like 24, 25. Yeah. And then he turned it down because he thought he was too young.
Yeah.
And then they tried to get him for Diamonds Are Forever. He turned it down again. Then they tried to get him on For Your Eyes Only. Turned it down again. And then Octopussy. Turned it down. Said, View to a Kill.
Yeah.
Turned it down. And then he finally came on with this one.
It's kind of crazy because obviously they wanted him a lot.
Yeah.
And it just, because he only did two.
Yeah.
And then he was done because his movies didn't do very well. They were really popular. But the thing is, like, imagine what it would have been like if he would have just accepted it in the first place. He probably would have been huge.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been the second James Bond. He might have had more than one movie off of On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Because that wasn't the studio. That was George Lazenby didn't want to do another one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Timothy Dalton would have done more. And I'm sure that was like when Bond was huge, because Sean Connery was still doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Did you know that, I didn't realize until recently that Roger Moore is 4 years older than Sean Connery.
I didn't know that.
Sean Connery looks so old.
I know that Sean Connery and Roger Moore both wore hair pieces for most of their movies.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
They were both almost bald.
Yeah.
Especially Sean Connery.
Dang.
Was like, he wore a toupee. Even on Dr. No.
Really?
Yeah.
He was like, wow, that's when he was younger, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, he looks so old in his later stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he looks old in Diamonds Are Forever.
He was like 50 in that movie, wasn't he?
Yeah. And
Diamonds Are Forever?
No, I think he was younger than that. He was like probably 40.
Maybe it was Never Say Never Again.
Yeah, that's when he came back.
Yeah.
But then Roger Moore is 4 years older and took over for him.
Yeah.
And was like 50 in his late 50s in A View to a Kill.
Well, I mean, the last one he did.
Yeah.
You could tell he was old.
Yeah.
He was like feeling it.
He was getting up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he aged better.
Yeah.
Than old Sean.
But I think Sean was he's a more attractive younger man.
Yeah.
Than Roger Moore
was. I think so too.
He's a looker.
Yeah, that's true.
With his accent.
But anyways, the funny thing about The Living Daylights, when they're moving this guy from, I forget what country.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring it up.
What?
I knew you were going to bring it up.
What, the continents?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know where I read in a few different sources. It's like Bond goes all over the world one.
I think it was the plot summary on IMDb.
Yeah.
Is where you read it.
Okay. It's like he crosses all seven continents in this one.
He only goes to three.
Yeah. And
I think it was just a marketing thing. Literally all
Maybe seven. It was like the most amount of locations he's been in.
Maybe.
Well, probably not.
No, probably not. It seems like that wouldn't be right.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't go to all the continents.
No. I mean, I don't think there's ever been an Antarctic Bond.
No.
That counts. That's a continent.
Yeah, that is a continent. Okay, but anyway, this one, the funny thing that I thought was when they moved the guy through the pipeline across the country lines.
Yeah.
You see how sharp the turns were in that pipeline?
That guy would be crunched. He would be stuck in that pipeline.
You can't get through there.
You can't do that.
No, not at all.
I think we talked about that when we were watching it.
Yeah.
We were both like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what about the American general?
Yeah.
In this movie.
What do you think of him? What's his name? Whittaker?
Yeah.
Whittaker. He's, what's that guy?
Brad Whittaker is American.
Yeah, Brad Whittaker.
He's just, I don't know, I feel like that whole plot with him is tacked on because they do the huge climax with the huge cargo plane, which is awesome, by the way.
Right.
It was so well done, and the special effects for that time were super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a cool climax with them flying the plane and everything exploding. They kick the guy. He's in the car, and they kick him out the back of it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's cool.
And then they do, like, another sub-climax with that guy that, like, wasn't even really a part of the plot the whole time.
Yeah.
He was, like, more of, like, a subplot, and then it's, like, they make him, like, the final climax.
Yeah.
With this, like, fight in the dark, and he's got this, like, gun with a bullet shield on it so Bond can't shoot him.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, like, a plot service so that he'd use that fucking mine where he whistles.
Yeah.
And it blows up the mine. It was like a whole scene dedicated to just using that plot device that they established earlier in the movie.
I'd like to see him. That's the thing. They do a lot of like just gadgets that are way too specific to what, which is kind of funny, but it makes it fun. But I'd like to see him like at one point just be like, okay, these are the gadgets that you get in this movie.
Just make it work.
Make use out of them.
Yeah.
And not make it to where like, okay, well, he needs to do this and this, so we'll make this gadget that just makes
it I mean, like he,
convenient.
It was like a little, I don't know, it was like a keychain.
Yeah.
That you, if you whistled one thing, it would put off like a knockout gas. If you whistled another thing, it would explode.
Yeah.
And he uses it both uses.
Yeah.
Because he get caught in that camp and he
knocks
that
specifically.
Guy out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, he's what is that guy's name? Jodan Baker, I think, is the actor's name. He shows up again in GoldenEye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's that American guy who's not Felix Leiter.
Oh yeah. I also
forget
that he works with the Mujahideen, which is pre Al Qaeda.
Oh.
If you don't
really
know that, the Mujahideen. I think that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. They were like, at the time the movie takes place, Russia was control, or they were invading Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And so obviously that was when the USSR was around and America didn't like them.
Yeah.
So they funded this guerrilla group and trained them to use these weapons to fight the Soviet Union to stop them from like taking over Afghanistan.
Hmm.
And the leader of the Mujahideen, who we trained and gave all these weapons to, was Osama bin Laden.
Oh.
And so then after all that stuff happened with the USSR, we pulled out and just stopped helping them. And that pissed a lot of people off. And the Mujahideen and Osama bin Laden went on to form Al-Qaeda.
Oh, I did not know that.
So I just think it's funny that they work with the Mujahideen in this movie. Because it's just like, oh, look, there's there's pre-Al-Qaeda. And James Bond's helping them out.
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, when this movie was made, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But, obviously, that's what it became.
Wow.
So it's just a funny little history thing.
Yeah.
That looking back is kind of humorous.
It's kind of strange.
Because they're kind of portrayed as the heroes.
Yeah.
In the movie, like, oh, here's this, like, guerrilla group fighting against, like, the Soviets. But then also they fucking are terrorists.
Yeah.
Or they become terrorists.
Yeah. That's cute. But... okay, so then, what we got? Speaking of, Q. We were talking about gadgets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Llewellyn killing it again, dude. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. R.I.P.
But we also get the first new Money Penny of the series.
Yeah.
After Lois Maxwell,
she was looking pretty old.
She was looking old, so they got some fine piece in there.
You know, she wasn't a very good Money Penny.
No, she was good looking.
She was good looking, but not memorable.
No,
chemistry.
No, which is why I think they kept her in there for the next Timothy Dalton, and then after that, she was gone.
Boom, got the kick.
Yeah,
well, didn't they do the same thing? No.
And then
Desmond Llewellyn was in GoldenEye, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was up through The World Is Not Enough,
and then John Cleese.
Yeah,
for like two movies.
For one.
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 Die Another Day.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's Desmond unfortunate Llewellyn. For him.
Yeah. So he's in the worst one.
Yeah.
It's probably why he stopped doing it.
Yeah. Desmond Llewellyn. Yeah, he was in there until he was almost in there for 50 years. Well, no, 40 years. Almost 40 years.
Yeah. Long time.
Yeah.
That's very long.
And he looked old From Russia with Love, the first one he was in.
First movie he was in.
Yeah. That first time he gives him the old briefcase attaché. Yeah, that's a cool word.
Attaché.
I like that word a lot. Whoa, what was that noise?
Airplanes.
Yeah, but so we get the new Money Penny. What'd you think of this? There's really only one girl in this movie.
Yeah, she's all right.
Yeah.
Not a very memorable Bond girl.
No, but she's cute.
She's cute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can you name a Bond girl that's not cute?
I'm sure I could.
No.
I'm going to look them up.
You can't do it.
Stop. Yeah.
Stop, you can't. She just wasn't very memorable, I don't think. Didn't really stick out.
Yeah.
When you think of Bond girls, you don't really think of...
She's no Solitaire.
I don't remember her name. She's no Domino.
No. She's no Jinx.
Shut up. She's no Pussy Galore. She's no...
No.
What's the... Honey Rider?
Honey Rider.
No Honey Rider.
Yeah. She was something. Yeah, Jinx... Who's the worst Bond girl?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably a lot of them.
Is it Jinx? Jinx sucks.
Jinx sucks.
Yeah, she's not good.
No. Solitaire's good.
Solitaire's Jane Seymour. Yeah. She... Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about her in Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize she was the mom in Wedding Crashers.
I didn't
either. She's really funny to me. Yeah. She's looking good there, too.
Looking good. Aging well.
Yeah.
Like a fine wine, Jane Seymour.
But yeah, so this... Yeah, she was all right. She was,
I don't remember her name. Do you know her name?
In the movie?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
the actress is Mariam Diabo.
No, I want to know her.
I know. I don't remember her character's name.
She's no Mary Goodnight. That's what I guess.
No. Mary Goodnight was... She's stupid.
She's stupid.
Very dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb woman. But that's what you get with the...
I guess Strawberry Fields is worse.
Yeah, she might be the worst.
Yeah.
She does absolutely nothing.
No, pointless character.
But is she better looking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields is.
Yeah. So she got
I'm excited for Leia Seydoux.
She's going to be good.
She's going to be good. I liked her a lot in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
She was in, like, yeah, she was in a couple scenes.
She's an assassin.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot in that.
She was in, what else was she in recently? I know she was in, Blue is the Warmest Color.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen
Big old lesbian.
Big old lesbian.
Yeah.
She's good, though. I'm excited. And Monica Bellucci.
Mm-hmm. Who might be Blofeld.
Monica Bellucci's Blofeld?
I mean, I've heard that somewhere.
Dave Bautista.
Bautista.
Blofeld.
That would be cool.
That would be dumb.
Would it be?
Yeah, you need to have like a charismatic actor for Blofeld.
What if he just wows us?
Yeah, what if he just busts out and he just like is the best actor we've ever seen?
Yeah. He might be. You never know.
You know, they're getting Dave Bautista in the... You know, the Bond world. Why don't John Cena? When does he get to be a Bond henchman?
Don't say that.
John Cena.
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
You know, if I ever get to make a Bond movie, John Cena.
Why would you do that?
As James Bond. He's got the charisma that you need.
No.
No, just kidding.
No, he's the worst.
No.
He's just
no John
worst.
Cena.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista, though, I'm excited to see him. I think he's going to be a cool henchman. There hasn't really been a good henchman.
Have there been any, really? Hasn't been one since Xenia.
Yeah.
Is that about it?
No, there was Diamond Face, dude. And Dying Another Day.
Wasn't he the main villain?
No, there was three of them.
Oh, yeah.
There was
Gustav Graves.
Yeah, there was Gustav Graves, and then there was Emma Frost?
Miranda Frost.
Miranda Frost.
Yeah.
There was her. They're like the three main villains. Yeah. I think he was more of a henchman, though, because he didn't really do shit.
Yeah, he was kind of like the Bane.
Yeah.
Of the
He was like
sorts.
Made out to be the main villain, but he actually wasn't.
Yeah.
Bullshit movie. Can't wait to talk about that fucking movie.
The Dark Knight Rises. That's towards the end of the list, thankfully.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait. We'll end on a high note, I guess.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises kind of took that whole thing of the formula of Die Another Day. Maybe that's why it sucked.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't suck.
It was not good. It was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
This is Bondcast, not Dark Knightcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to bring it up.
You can't just bring up fucking other movie franchises. Can't just throw those into our Bondcast.
Yes, I don't know. Timothy Dalton. Dudes. He's good in this one.
Yeah, he's good in this one.
Minus the no funny.
I think that's really what brought him down was the fact that there wasn't really much humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people wanted those kinds of movies at that time.
Yeah.
I don't think they wanted that from Bond. Because you go from Roger Moore, who's a little over the top on the humor scale.
Mm-hmm.
To someone who's completely humorous. I think people go in, because how many did Roger Moore do? Like eight? Seven?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
You go from seven Roger Moore movies for like two decades. that are just filled with corny jokes and wisecracks, and that's what you're used to when you see a Bond movie.
Yeah.
So you go to see another Bond movie, and it's got no humor whatsoever, and it's dark and humorless, and I could see how it just wasn't popular.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Because that's just not what people were expecting.
Yeah, and I mean, it was supposed to be, at one point, it was supposed to be Pierce Brosnan in this movie.
Yeah, they almost got him, but the whole thing with Remington Steele happened.
Yep, and then couldn't do it because he had to do Remington Steele, and then they canceled it anyway.
Yeah, if you don't know the story,
it's kind of
what they did
up.
Was they wanted him to be Bond, and he was currently on a show called Steele. Mm-hmm. He played like a spy type guy,
yeah,
or a detective. A detective, wasn't he?
Yeah,
but the studio said that. Well, the show got canceled, so he was like, okay, I can do Bond finally, because they had wanted him to do Bond for a while.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, I can do it finally. And then they decided, oh, no, we might renew it for another season. And they had like 60 days to decide if they were going to renew it before he could commit to Bond. Mm. And on the very last day that they had to decide, they decided to renew it for another season. So that meant he couldn't contractually do Bond. And after, like, what, 6 episodes of the new season, they canceled it anyway.
Yeah.
So he basically just got fucked over by the studio.
Yeah.
That was making Remington Steele.
Yeah. And then came in with Goldeneye.
Yeah, which is a solid movie.
Yeah. Very, very much so. His best.
But Timothy Dalton, he's good, though.
Yeah, I like him. I like the look. I like...
like the look, yeah.
I like the voice of it.
Yeah.
I like the action.
The action is great. I think that's the strongest part of the Timothy Dalton Bonds is the action is just great. The action set pieces are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's shot is awesome. The editing is awesome.
Yeah.
I think just overall the action sequences are just really like top notch and like through the whole series.
Yeah.
Compared to like any movie, like even the Daniel Craig ones.
Right.
The scenes are just awesome.
It's up there. Yeah. It's a lot of better action than you see in even Pierce Brosnan's later stuff.
Oh, yeah, because even Pierce Brosnan, I feel like they took a step back.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, cheesiness and, like, cutting-edge technology.
Yeah.
They kind of, like, toned it back with a little bit with the modernity that Timothy Dalton had.
Yeah.
And it really... I think it kind of works, but also I feel like it's a little too goofy at times. But with Timothy Dalton, it was kind of like, all right, this is the 80s. Let's fucking put it in the gear. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
Top-notch action. No humor. This is serious. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it would have worked. I think we've talked about this before on the Bondcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it would have been better if maybe Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton were switched.
Switched, yeah.
Because I feel like... The evolution of the character,
because
there's like Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and I feel like Pierce Brosnan is the hybrid between Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
So I feel like the bridge would have been gapped.
And it would have.
And it would have worked.
Yeah, it would have brought you smoother into Daniel Craig.
And then I think the reason that Daniel Craig worked so well is because when it got to the end of Pierce Brosnan, people were like done with it.
They needed
like,
something new.
They're like, we're sick of this cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is a new millennia.
Yeah.
We need something new. And then they brought in Daniel Craig, the gritty realism that is so popular in films today.
Yeah.
And, well, the rest is history because he's been making some kick-ass films.
Yeah. That is true. Overall, I enjoyed this movie. No really memorable villains or...
No. The villain was really not memorable at all.
Yeah. It just... But, I mean, I like the action. I like the... Yeah. It was fun. What about that cello case scene? That was about as goofy as it got.
That's pretty goofy.
That brought it to Roger Moore level almost.
If you haven't seen it, there's a scene where he's trying to escape. They ski for a while.
Yeah.
He gets one of his skis knocked off, so he's skiing on one foot.
Yeah.
And he's escaping with the Bond girl whose name we can't remember.
Yeah.
And she's got a cello case, and he pops up in the cello case, and they sled down the hill under gunfire from these skiing henchmen.
Yeah.
Sled down on this cello case down this mountain.
I heard that John Glenn, who directed this, he really wanted to do that scene.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, it's just too weird. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So he busted out a cello case and slid down the hill himself just to prove to them that it would work.
That's funny.
And it's, I guess it does. And it's goofy.
Well, I guess that kind of has the only moment of humor.
Yeah.
In the whole movie.
That is funny.
It's when they cross the border while they're sliding down this hill. And he like tosses the, because they take the cello out and he's holding it the whole time.
Yeah.
And he like tosses the cello over the little gate and they slide under it. And he says, I'd like to check this, and catches it and keeps sliding through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So that's a joke.
He's got a little one-liner in there. Yeah. That's kind
of... That's the only joke I can remember, though.
That's a, yeah.
Out of all of them.
Oh, man.
That's a goofy scene.
Yeah, it is. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie.
It was good. I liked it.
It's better than I forgot all about it before I saw it, and then...
Yeah, same.
And then it was a nice surprise to see that it wasn't too bad.
And I'm excited to watch Living Daylights, License to Kill, whenever we get to it,
because
I don't even remember a single part of
it. Yeah, I rewatched it recently. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it's not as good, I don't think. But
I guess we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it.
It's a weird feeling. It feels weird.
But overall, what are your like final thoughts on The Living Daylights? I know we kind of summarized a little bit, but just like
it's,
closing remark.
Better than License to Kill.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it a lot. It's better than about half the Roger Moore movies.
Yeah.
It's kind of mid-range.
Yeah, I'd say mid-level Bond.
Yeah.
Not better than Craig's.
No.
Except for Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Not better than Sean Connery's.
No.
Not better than On Your Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Mm-mm.
And I agree, about half Roger Moore. Maybe half of Pierce
Half of Brosnan as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably better than Tomorrow Never Dies and Die Another Day.
Yeah. Not The World Not Enough. World's Not Enough or...
GoldenEye.
Yeah, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we both kind of are on the same page.
We
both think it's like a mid-level. Not bad, not great, but good.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's next on our list?
Next, oh man, I forget. Oh, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah, we're going Roger Moore's third.
You're back in New York.
Yeah.
So we should be able to get that done next week.
Yeah.
No hiatuses on either of
ends. No, we'll get another one out a week from now. And it's, I read that book.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Oh.
But
we'll talk about that. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
I haven't read it, so I've just seen the movie.
Yeah.
So we'll do a little discussion on that.
Yeah. But that's
until then, this has been episode 3 of Bond Boys.
That was The Living Daylights.
The Living Daylights.
Bond Boys will return. And
with
The Spy Who Loved Me.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
And you'll hear that song you heard in the first episode again.
Yeah. Because we're going to replay it again, because why the fuck not? It's a great ass song.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Deal with it. Peace out.